Praise the Lord, church. Have you been blessed this week?
Amen.
Has God been faithful?
Amen.
We have been really blessed these last weeks to hear of the goodness of God. In personal testimony, in outreach, and witness, thank you again to all those who have participated. And I hope you hold those memories in your heart. God has called you here for a special purpose, for a season. And next week we're going to hear some more. This week is Mother's Day. This week is a chance to reflect on how we got here by the mercies of God. And the Creator God who gave us mothers, really. God is our Creator and Redeemer. And it is a privilege to be in His house. And I just want to reflect a few minutes on the mercies of God. We have the communion back here. The table is spread. And Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion, meaning that if your heart has been drawn by the love of Christ, if you see His sacrifice on the cross for you personally, you are welcome to participate. Before that, I have some remarks, and we have a foot washing service, which is humbling to serve someone else. Might be a little weird for some people that are here, maybe for the first time, but weird or not, Jesus said, look, you got to serve one another as I have served you. Love one another as I have loved you. And so as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we want to follow the Bible. We want to follow Jesus' example. In preparing and thinking of this service, I came across an article by Anne Frank that is called The Womb. Let's see if this little clicker will work. I might need Sister Rachel's help here. Doesn't seem to be clicking ahead. Thank you. Can you read that? Mercy is a womb. Now, I can't identify with this picture, but half of you can. Or half of you have the capability, the physiology, to carry a living being within yourself. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is not explained by evolution. I mean, if you have one little piece of slime coming out and developing, you have to have a female and a male at the same time in the same area of growth to be able to produce. And that's just impossible. Let's just say it. We came forth from the hand of a loving God. A God that's revealed mostly in father terms, but many times God, as the children's story says, God expresses His love in mother terms as well. Because God together created male and female and said, together they reflect my image. In the Bible, there is a term for let's go to the next one. There's a Hebrew word, and it's called raham. Can we advance? Yes. The Hebrew word for a mother's womb is raham, and it is the same root word as the word mercy. Mercy, compassion, this deep feeling that you have inside your being that longs for another's protection, joy, comfort, healing. When you're compelled, when you have that mercy, that's a God thing. Let's go to the next one. This is from Anne Frank. A mother's womb is to be a safe place, a sanctuary where new life can begin, an unhurried space, a quiet shelter. A protected refuge where growth happens exactly at the right pace. A nourishing haven marked by rhythms of rest and movement, development and health. At the right time and from this wonderful place, birth happens and the world is changed. Amen? My dear mother is right here. When I was in the womb, I was not such a willing, growing little person. I needed more space. And she will tell you, I was a challenge from even before day one. As soon as I was growing, I was a challenge. And when I was extending my appendages, I was pushing and kicking and even broke three of your ribs. Am I right? On that side, pushed three of her ribs out. Sometimes children are hard to carry. And yet God carries us in his loving care. Next picture. Mercy is a womb. Okay, so we don't have that picture. The womb is a metaphor for mercy. The world today groans for mercy, a safe place to be held, nourished, protected from danger, known, cherished, loved, pitied, valued. Mercy is a womb. So it follows that when we choose to show mercy to our fellow humans, we become like a womb for them, a place they can be held, loved, a safe place to grow. When was the last time you were a safe place for someone? Is New Life Church a safe place to bring your friends? To encourage people to come and meet Jesus? We are a place to grow, a place to come and also be transformed. Even though we're welcomed and accepted as we are, we're all challenged to grow in grace, aren't we? To be transformed by the mercies of God. And so we want to be a safe place here at New Life. The character of God, you remember Moses? Moses so wanted to see God. He loved God. He would give up his even eternal life if his fellow people would be saved. He says, God, just show me. I want to see you more. I want to know more of you. And God took him into a cleft of the rock and just put him there, right? He says, you can't see my face, Moses, but I will show you as I pass by who I am. And in Exodus 34, the Lord passed before Moses and he introduced himself, the Lord God, gracious and what? Merciful. There it is. Slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast love and fidelity. It goes on as God expresses who he is, the character of God. And God wanted Moses to be a close friend. Moses didn't even need to eat for 40 days. And we just found out in Joshua, is it? After breaking those first commandments, he went up again and fasted for 40 days. I thought it just happened once. But he was sustained by the mercies of God for 80 days and nights. Incredible. But God as a sustainer, God as a provider, mercy as a womb. God says, I have birthed this children of Israel. Even though they're unfaithful to me, these are my kids. These are the people that I have carried on eagle's wings. Let's look at the Hebrew here, the next one. I want to be a womb, a safe place, a place of mercy for others. It's one thing to say we want God to be merciful and forgiving to us, right? But what if we don't extend that same mercy and grace to others? Have we really received it? No. God says, forgive as you have been forgiven. In fact, if you don't forgive others, you will not be forgiven because you don't understand what forgiveness is. So what we receive from God, we pass on. And we have to know him first. We have to love him in his salvation in order to love our neighbor as ourselves. Has my life, this is a question for all of us, has my life, my time, my home, my heart invited others to grow a while? To germinate in the solid confines of a listening ear? To rest in the arms of compassion? To grow stronger? To grow stronger with a cup of kindness? Am I a haven for others, a refuge where they may experience new life and rebirth? What would happen if we all, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, became wombs of mercy for the people around us? I think that's a high and holy calling. Next one. Here's the Hebrew here, and you're reading from right to left. So you have an R sound, resh, sheth, and mem. Rahem. And I'm not saying that correctly, probably, but the R, H, M. They didn't have vowels in Hebrew, but that is the infinite love of God. And that is also the root word, those three letters, for the word womb. And you remember in Hosea, what a crazy story. He has to marry a prostitute and they have kids together, and then she goes and wanders off. He has to buy her back, and he wants her to be faithful, but her heart is always wandering. And the names of these children, one is No Mercy and the other one's Not My People. So you have a troubled marriage to begin with. And then you got to name these kids that have to grow up with these crazy names. And God says, you're a prophet, Hosea, and I'm using your family as an example. How broken and how frustrated, how you long for companionship and a faithful and a beautiful, loving family. And it keeps getting mixed up and messed up. But I want to have mercy on the one that is called No Mercy. I want to call the one that is not my people, you are my people. And I want to hear back the simple response, which is, you are my God. Is that so hard, people? That's what God wants from us. He wants to be our God. And He wants us to be His special people. And He used Hosea and that womb mercy concept to say, come back to me. I have birthed you, I've created you, I've redeemed you, you are mine, and I want that loving response. I want to be a faithful family together. David longed for this. David longed for the forgiveness and mercy of God in our next slide. Here you have the same, actually adding a letter, Rab Raham, and that's abundant and great love. And David messed up so bad, but he's like in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. David prayed that, and he was called a man what? After God's own heart. God wants to hear that we are sorry, that we're coming, we're asking for cleansing. It's His delight to cleanse us. It's His privilege, it's His joy. And He doesn't want us to run away in fear like Adam and Eve, to say, oh no, we can't face this God. He wants us to come to Him like a loving parent, confessing our sins and asking for His mercy. And God is faithful and just and will forgive us. Next one. Psalms 103, and I'd like to go there in the Bible. I have it here. Maybe you have yours with you. Psalms chapter 103. Beautiful psalm. It talks about God being our healer, our forgiver. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all His benefits. Forgiving our sin, healing our disease, redeeming our life from destruction, crowning with us with love and tender what? Tender mercies, yes. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the children of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. There, we just read that. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He won't be constantly angry or accusing us. He doesn't punish us for all our sins or dealing harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love is toward those who fear Him. As high as the heights of the heaven above the earth, He has removed our sins from us. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. I don't know if that tender and compassionate would be the first words you think of when you think of father. Maybe your own father. See, God is calling fathers to be tender and compassionate, just like the mother. Right? Mother may be more naturally that way, but He's saying, I'm a father to you, tender and compassionate. So God's call is both to mothers and fathers. Look at who I am, and I want you to bring up your children to love and serve the Lord, compassion and mercy. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And so we come to Him as to a loving parent. This one here is deep with pathos. The next one from Jeremiah. And God, just like a parent, has to discipline sometimes. And he talks about Ephraim as a wayward child. He's my favorite. I love Ephraim. He's my dear son. I delight in him. Though I speak against him, I remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion for him, declares the Lord. Amen? This is to a wayward son. This is to Ephraim. The whole tribe was starting to wander from God. God predicted this, but he says, I want to be there for you. I want you to come back. I want you to receive forgiveness and the plan I have for your life, which is life. You're choosing death. You're choosing all these other things. But Ephraim, come back home. Come back home, Ephraim. Jesus, when he was here, demonstrates the same character. This is from Matthew chapter 14. We can go to the next slide. Yes. Jesus went forth, read with me, and he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Compassion, this mercy, is not just pity. It's not just, poor you, I hope you get over it. Jesus was what with compassion? You see a word there? He was moved. He was motivated. Not only did he see, he understood the deep cry and the pain of the people. And that move is a visceral idea. He was moved in his deepest person. And he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. He's like, these people need somebody. Their leaders are out to lunch. They're not telling the truth about who I am. They're saying that their sins have excluded them from grace. But I am a loving father to them, and I want to bring them back. I want to bring them home. And when Jesus was here, he was moved with compassion. He gave them food. But then later, when they were chasing him for a free lunch, he's like, guys, you gotta have a little better motivation than that. I want you to get beyond the food, free fish burgers, and I want you to be my loving examples. I want you to hear my words and put them into practice. Yes. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus, was Jesus moved? Did he come? Did he show emotion? It was more than emotion, though, because when he knew and saw the grief of Mary and Martha, his friends, and they knew if he had been there, the brother would not have died. Jesus, Ellen White says, saw the grief and the tears of the ages coming up before him. He saw the cries and heard the cries from people past, thousands of years, to people present. And all of that grief filled his ears. He understood the grief of humanity and the hopelessness of so many that don't know the hope of the Lord. I was at a funeral once. I couldn't believe it. And the casket was there. It was open. It was a culture different than mine, and I didn't expect. But when they were going to close that casket, people just ran up from the audience and were holding on to this body. And just didn't want the casket to close. And they were wailing and crying. I'm like, what is this? What is this? I don't understand that type of grief. Because as Christians, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We will see these people again in Jesus' time and Jesus' mercy. We have a Savior. We have one who's conquered death. Isn't that incredible? So we have hope of life beyond this life. Jesus wept our tears. Yes, we can still cry at funerals. I'm not saying that, but it's not a hopeless case. God is merciful, and God knows we can't put them in heaven. And you don't often hear a funeral where they're put in hell, but we can trust our loved ones, the ones we love the most, into God's loving care. If we love a little bit, God loves so much more. And in this story, he demonstrates that. Did Jesus ever cry again? He was a man of sorrows, wasn't he? Even though he was a man of joy, acquainted with grief, as he's the triumphal entry, people are waving branches, so excited to see Jesus, but he crests the hill to Jerusalem, and the mood changes. Next slide. What does he say? Okay, the one before that? Maybe you don't have that one. He approaches Jerusalem, Luke 19. 41 and 42. He saw the city and wept over it. Now, he's not weeping for buildings. People are worried about buildings coming down, right? He's weeping for his people.
His people. If you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. Just like that picture of the chicken, right? I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. But you were not what? You were not willing. So there's a free will there and there's a call there that goes out to everybody. And we are part of extending the call of the mother hen, God, in a sense. Come under my wings. There's refuge, there's shelter, there's protection. I will sacrifice my life for you. You have to know that kind of love, and you have to go and bring others to that safe place, to that womb of mercy. You didn't know the time of your visitation. It's going to get really bad. Jesus on the way to the cross, the mothers were there crying for him. He's like, don't cry for me. He didn't say, but thank you for your sympathy, but don't cry for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the things that are coming to this generation. Jesus could see all that, and he felt that very deeply. And he wanted to release people from those terrible things that would come. Just come to me, he would say. All who are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so to us today, there is a mercy seat. Amen? The sanctuary, the heart of the sanctuary is in the most holy place. And above the law of God, the law which is immutable, that stands for all time, that law, that holy law that we will be the standard of judgment, yes, that was in the ark. But what was above the ark? The mercy seat. This represents the throne of God, justice and mercy, love and grace, law and justice. All of these things are together in who God is. But he wanted us to know that the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. Yes, all have sinned. Does it excuse everyone? No. But we can be forgiven. We have a Savior. What we celebrate today in the communion is that he gave his life for us. He gave his body and his blood for us. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But we have to be willing to release it, don't we? We have to release the sin that holds us captive and that's killing us. The mercy seat is where we find what? Rachel, yes? Let us read. Let us then approach the throne of where we may find. Yes, with confidence that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. The only people that aren't forgiven are the ones who don't come. Because the invitation is out to everybody. Come. We can settle this. We can talk about this. Jesus' blood covers all sin. He died once for all. We don't celebrate this every time we meet. Now, it's not a sin to do that, but we don't want it to lose its specialness. We celebrate the communion about four times a year to have it special and to recognize Jesus as our Savior and that he is inviting us to come, to be cleansed, to come with confidence, to meet with him. God is a God. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I want you to think about that mercy today as we serve one another, as we wash the feet of another person. It's like Jesus washing your feet. As you serve, it's like you're serving Jesus. Jesus didn't have his feet washed, but yet he did just the week before, or a couple days before. Mary, didn't she? Washed his feet with her tears. As a woman forgiven, as someone who said, thank you so much. Jesus says, the one who's forgiven much, what? Loves much. May we understand what we've been forgiven for and become a vessel of mercy. It's no easy task. I get in my own way. I need the mysterious power of the new life giver himself to work in and through me. I am a poor lover of others, a limited giver of myself. So first, I do this by asking the Holy Spirit to fill me day by day As He fills me, He flows out of me and enables me to show mercy beyond my feeble limits to love others. How can we love? We're asked to love God. We're asked to love others. The only way is to come close to God and to know His love. Then we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves, because we're loved by God and we felt that. And we can communicate that to others. The Lord is merciful, right? Again, gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Next, I do this by seeing each person, each stranger, loved one, family member as worthy of love. Made in whose image? Yes. Each one? Yes. In this way, I find equality with others, regardless of our likeness or difference. We're created with intrinsic equivalent worth. We have all been equally honored by the gift of Christ's life. Not only His death, but His life. His death and His resurrection. His gift was accepted, or else He would have never rose from the grave. Other world religions don't have that. They don't have a living Savior. How sad. We have a life-giving God, one who death could not hold Him. And He gave His all, and yet He was given all because He was not found to be with sin. Each one has been honored, not only as a creation of God, not only created in the image of God, but by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Each person deserves to know this hope. Such a truth stops my prideful vaunting of self. Look at me. The laziness of soul and spirit that keeps me from inviting others into a place of mercy. Where we have found mercy, we have to invite others. And it's not by condemning, is it? It's by saying, look, I have had similar experience. Come with me. Come to find grace. I know where there's healing. I know where there's hope. I know where there's Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. When do the mercies of the Lord run out? Every morning we can say, right, with lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Wonderful. When I fail, which I do on a regular basis, I ask for mercy myself from the one who's loved me completely, steadily, persistently, faithfully all the days of my life. He has helped me and given me a safe place to grow through Jesus Christ. God created new life in me and gives me new birth. And continues to hold me and help me to grow. He is the Father of mercies. Don't you love this God?
Amen.
Such an amazing God. Blessed. Blessed be the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. I like this little girl here, just contented. Read with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others, right? Those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. If you haven't been comforted, forgiven, cleansed, you don't know how to invite anyone else into that. But as we have received forgiveness and grace and mercy of God, and comfort, we can tell others we have found a safe place, a womb, a place to grow safely in the arms of God. Again, because of the mercies of God, we are not consumed. Every morning, we can remember His great faithfulness. And so, Anne Frank, concluding her devotional, quotes Billy Graham, God's mercy and grace give me hope for myself and for our world. We have to know that hope ourselves and then extend that to others. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus was uplifted for us. He bore my sin. It was my sin that put him there in the first place. I have to personalize it, not just the sins of the world, but I have broken his heart. I have been the one to wander away. And so I have to see this for me. It was for me that he shed his blood. I take it personally when I take the communion and I said, for me, his body was broken. For me, he endured what he did, spat upon and ridiculed. He could have come down from that cross, but he didn't. But it wasn't my sin only that held him there. What was stronger than my sin was his love. His love held him to the cross. It wasn't the Father's curse, although he was looked like he was cursed of God and afflicted. But it was for my sin that he did that, and it brought me peace. I don't have to worry about my guilt and my shame. In Christ, there is no condemnation. I can come without a barrier. I can come directly, even without a mediator. I don't need a pastor to come help me, even though it's nice for a pastor or for a friend or a mother to say, let's pray together. I can go directly to Jesus. He is my elder brother, and he says, you come boldly. We'll go to the throne of grace together because I paid the price for you. I carried you. I forgave you. And so I want you to stay with me. That gives you hope. When Jesus, you can talk about the womb. It's just another thing. You've heard about how when women give birth, right, there's fluid. Okay, I don't want to get too graphic, but when Jesus died, he got his heart pierced. The side of his right here, the sword pierced right up here, and he died of a broken heart. But out came the blood and the water. That's like a birth. In a sense, God, Jesus, in giving up his life, birthed the church. He, through the Holy Spirit, gave up himself, and he did it for us so that a group of people could come under the blood. I mean, that might be a weird term for if you haven't heard that before, but just like the Exodus 12, you can go back and look at that. When the Passover was there, the angel of death was coming, and they said, kill a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And when you come under the blood, you are safe. And when the angel passed by, that destroying angel, everyone that was under the blood was spared. They had to accept it by faith. What does a little blood, you know, on the doorpost, what does that have to do? Even in Chinese culture, we see in the red, right, on the Chinese New Year, that's where it came from, that old story. You can be safe when your family is under the red, under the blood, and it does point to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hear echoes in other cultures. We can call them to that. I know Dr. Ho does when he explains that. Jesus, when he is uplifted, is going to do the drawing. We just point people to Jesus. And so, you can't read all of those things, but what is love? You look at all of those things and we realize we are not worthy, and yet we are loved. And in that acceptance that Jesus has for us, we can learn to accept ourselves. We can learn to get rid of those chains that bind us, and we can invite others to that throne of grace where there is mercy, compassion, a womb of protection and growth. Jesus says, when you serve one another, you serve as I have loved you, serve one another with that heart of mercy. And so that's where we're going to conclude here just before. We're not going to go to that slide. Go back. That's a beautiful picture. I took your picture. Okay, let's go since you put it there. One more. You see Sister Pelini and her heart of love for her brother? Okay, I can't talk about it. When you say hello, when you say goodbye, you don't know when you're going to see the other person again. But she's praying God's protection on her brother. She has a mother's heart, and when her parents died, she became the mother of the family. And when they pray, when they release
a brother into the hands of God, they say, may the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent from one another.
God wants us to have that heart. That heart that says, I don't want you to leave. Please come back. Please stay in a safe place. Stay with God. I can't be with you to be with you and pray with you all the time. I can't hold your hand. We have to be separated one from another. But we have a God of mercy, a God who will hold us even though we're apart from one another. Amen? This is an amazing God. And so let that love of God permeate your hearts and be a womb, be a safe place, be a mother, be a Christian father, full of tender mercies and compassion. Let your heart be moved with what moves the heart of God. And He says, I've got kids all over this place who don't know me. Are you going to do anything about that? Are you going to tell them about me so that they don't have to be lost out in the cold? No shelter, no forgiveness. They don't know that I've given my life for them. Just as I've given for you. They're no less valuable than you are. And so the God of tender mercies, just break our heart with what breaks His. And then just be His hands and feet. Love people like we have been loved. Okay, we're going to go. I can't talk about that anymore. But may your heart be captured by the love of God. And as you serve one another, with this foot washing, we're going to come back. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Just know God loves you. God loves you so much. Receive it. Don't just think it's for someone else. Just say thank you. Accept it. And then let that simple childlike faith hold to Him like a child does unquestioningly to the parent. We're going to come back in a few minutes. We're already over time. I think we've been over time for a whole month. Sorry about that. But I hope you were blessed. This is a place of healing and growth. And I know I need the help. And so we're here to heal together. We're here to receive God's love together. We're here to be transformed together, to go to a hurting world that says, hey, there is hope. There is joy, and it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. I urge you, read with me, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. This is reasonable. This is worship. This is worship. This is service. And so today, as you are served, as you serve, realize it's all by the mercies of God. A God with a womb, if you will. Because He's full of mercy and tender compassion. And He has it for you. As you receive it, may you be that conduit of mercy for someone else. And God bless us in this. We're gonna break here. If you hear some more music, we're gonna be singing. Let's take 15 minutes. Come back together before 1:30. We'll do the emblems together. We'll appreciate quickly the broken body and the blood of Christ. So we'll separate at this time. If you don't wish, we're upstairs. There's water there that's provided. Thank you to the deacons, deaconesses, that provided that. There'll be lunch afterward, but we're going to come back here for a few minutes. So we'll separate at this time, and God give us that heart of mercy for one another. It's my prayer.